go. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Millennial Dollar Podcast Series, and this is the People with a Passion segment. We'll chat with some bright individuals from around the world regarding matters and issues that they've researched about and delved into, so we get a bigger picture of the situation and understand what are their solutions to these problems. I'm your host, Sarah Joseph, today, and I'll be talking to Kathy Penza, who's based in Dubai and also studies in Amsterdam, and she's actually my colleague at work. So thank you so much for joining us today, Kathy, and could you give our audience a brief introduction about yourself and the topic that we shall be discussing today?
Of course. I'm so happy to be here and to be talking to you about this. So I'm Kathy, and I'm a lover of all beauty. So I love skincare, I love cosmetics, I love makeup, hair, everything. But I'm also a big advocate for cruelty-free beauty, and it's a very dear topic to me. And that's exactly what we're going to be talking about today. So we're going to be talking about cruelty-free cosmetics and the beauty world and what that entails.
Yeah. No, that's amazing. Like, I think, like, if I hope this, like, helps people make, like, conscious decisions going forward.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So let's start with the first question, which is, what led you towards being more aware of the type of makeup you use and to carefully look into the brands you invest in?
Okay, well, this is kind of a funny story. I really started getting into cruelty-free beauty and the whole realm that goes around it when I got a dog. I got a beagle, and beagles are actually one of the most used dog brands in cruelty cosmetic settings. So they will typically be used as lab dogs for testing and clinical trials, etc., because they're one of the most trusting breeds. And so unfortunately, when I got a beagle, and I love her, she's like my child, as any dog owner will tell you, I just couldn't fathom the idea of still purchasing cosmetics from companies that would hurt animals like my dog. And that really opened up my eyes to the cruelty-free industry. I think that's really when I started thinking about it and doing more research into it, because prior to that, and I mean, this was years ago, I got my dog when I was in 2015. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's been quite a journey up to now.
Yeah.
It's not a perfect journey, but it's going somewhere.
Yeah, no, of course. Yeah. No, I understand. Like, it's really, really tough to see, especially someone who stays with you, you know, to see
exactly.
That they could potentially be used for something that's so harsh in the industry. So, yeah, thank you so much for that. In your research so far, what are some of the harsh practices you think makeup brands have adopted overall?
Well, so by harsh practices, you mean like essentially what they do for animal testing?
Yeah.
Or what they do against it?
No, what they do, like what are some of the practices that you've probably heard about that, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, in terms of the practices that I've heard of the most, typically, animals will be used as testers. So they'll obviously be used to ensure that the chemical compounds within the beauty recipes and everything is safe for humans. So they'll probably do skin trials. You know, they'll be putting different liquids and acids, and it is quite movie-like. I do really see that it is quite like, you know, all these different chemicals get put onto these animals' skins, and they're forced to not ingest things necessarily, because obviously we don't ingest beauty, but it is mostly skin trials, and it is mostly seeing what affects the skin. Does it cause irritation? Would it cause rednesses and anything like that? So that's really harsh. And it is sad to say, because a lot of companies, actually a lot of beauty companies that sell in countries like mainland China, especially mainland China tend to tend to be cruelty brands, because unfortunately, if you do sell in mainland China as a brand, you do have to, by law, test on animals prior to selling your products there.
So
typically brands are then, you will typically immediately know if a brand is cruelty or cruelty free, depending on if they, which is like a quick Google search, if they sell their products in mainland China, because then that will mean that they are cruelty.
That's interesting. Thank you. Are there any certain cruelty-free makeup brands that you're currently using and you find effective?
Yeah. So, well, I have loads of brands that I love that are cruelty-free. Mm-hmm. I think some of my favorites are probably Anastasia Beverly Hills for brow products. For any eyebrow lovers, I think Anastasia Beverly Hills is it. And it's a really great cruelty-free brand. And we also have things like Milk Makeup, Becca Cosmetics. Actually, Milk Makeup is also fully vegan, so that's really great. Becca Cosmetics is really great. Too Faced Cosmetics is really great. Then we also have a lot of skincare brands. Some of my favorites, I would say, are Dermalogica is a great skincare brand that's cruelty-free. Paula's Choice or The Ordinary, even. These are really nice skincare brands. Ren as well for retinol. So there's quite a lot. Uwe even for hair brands. That's really great.
So
these are some of my favorites
brands. That's really nice. And Milk has also recently come to like the UAE, right?
Exactly. Milk has started selling at Sephora.
Perfect. Are there any YouTubers or celebrities who you are aware of that focus on cruelty-free makeup? Basically, anyone that inspires you in this segment.
Well, I actually don't think I have any celebrities or YouTubers that inspire me. I find that the YouTube community, although a lot tend to promote cruelty-free makeup and definitely put it as a focus in their own brand. I just don't find anyone that only focuses on that. So I wouldn't suggest anyone from influencers. But I do love a brand, I think everyone knows it, but Lush. Lush is definitely a big inspiration for me. I think their brand is so outspoken about cruelty-free beauty and healthy ingredients. And you know, manufacturing from humans to humans, so it's a great brand, and I think Lush really inspires me.
Yeah, of course, and even like the packaging, so they're sustainable as well, which is amazing.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's all in all. No, that's perfect. What are some of the hurdles that you feel people might face in switching over to vegan and cruelty-free makeup from the normal brands that, you know, don't practice such practices?
I mean, I think it's definitely super hard. I mean, I said earlier, I'm not perfect with this. It is very difficult to only stick to having cruelty-free makeup, because often we sort of you know, name brands or luxurious brands like Dior and Chanel, Gucci Beauty, all these brands are typically cruelty, and that is because they sell in mainland China, so they have to for those purposes. And it's unfortunate, because obviously as a client, when you do want to go for a luxurious beauty brand, you would, and if you have these morals in you, which is that you would like to follow a cruelty-free you know, lifestyle sort of, then it's obviously very difficult to do that with cosmetics, with luxurious cosmetics. I would also say cool, like K-beauty brands, that's also very challenging, because often K-beauty brands also do sell in mainland China or manufacture in mainland China, whatever it is. So they also tend to be cruelty as well. So brands like Dr. Jart, for instance, which are really interesting brands, you know, they have all these different like jelly skincare masks and all these things that you would love to try. Unfortunately, they're not cruelty. I mean, unfortunately, they are cruelty. So, I think the most difficult thing to do is to make it a switch. And it's also perfectly fine if, I think I'm always an advocate for saying that if people aren't perfect, but they're trying, I think that's more than enough, then not doing anything about it.
Exactly. And also, how can like people know a brand is like vegan or cruelty free? Is it the running bunny symbol?
Yes, exactly. Okay. Exactly. And most of the times you'll see it on packaging as well. So if brands are sort of updated, they will put it on their packaging saying cruelty free, vegan, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then you also see the bunny thing, the bunny sign and everything.
But you recommend it's always good to do a little like back end research as well on it's just not marketing and their action.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think it's important because often it's also happened in the past where there's been sort of some scandals where, you know, some brands kind of said they were cruelty free, but they weren't because they were selling in mainland China or because they were going through other things, or they have this clause which sort of says that especially companies under Estee Lauder, companies that say basically that their law is we don't test on animals until it's required by law, and then if it's required by law, then we do. So that doesn't mean you're cruelty free, you know.
Yeah It's conditional. Are there any recent innovations in the cruelty free makeup segment that you've noticed during this pandemic?
I mean, I think generally the cruelty free beauty industry is expanding day by day. I think anyone that's coming up with a makeup brand now or a skincare brand, I think everyone is very much aware of the fact that you should be going along the lines of cruelty free, because I think our generation is becoming much more aware of it now. I don't think there's been any specific huge differences or innovations as of now. I think it's actually been kind of put on the back burner during this period just because there's so many other things going on that, you know, animals always kind of become the second thought to people. First it's humans and let's deal with humans. And I mean, I guess like that is how our society works.
So yeah.
When it comes to thinking about animals and everything, that's sort of put on the back burner for now, especially during a pandemic.
Exactly, you know, for sure. And like it's always like, oh, this product shows the most amount of results and, you know, let's just go for it. Other than makeup, what changes can we make perhaps in our skincare and beauty routine that focus on the use of natural ingredients? And maybe if you have like a recipe for a homemade mask, a quick homemade mask, you could suggest one.
Yeah, I mean, I think, so I think in general, natural ingredients are great. But I also do love chemical ingredients. And often with this whole idea of natural ingredients, it's kind of misconstrued because sometimes it's not just, natural isn't always the best, actually. In terms of skincare, especially, I mean, cosmetics wise, obviously you're going to have some chemicals in to create makeup, but especially with skincare, I find that, although natural is great, some chemical compounds that are in skincare are necessary for our skin.
Yeah.
Things like hyaluronic acid, niacinamide, these sort of ingredients are, you know, they're chemical compounds, but they're great for our skin. Mm-hmm. So I think, I mean, honestly, I think for me, the most important thing to point out is that I think skincare is really the future of the beauty industry.
I
think if anything, to focus on cruelty-free skincare right now is the future, because that can be the hardest just because there you have to make sure that it's not going to be reactive on people and in terms of a face mask at home, I would honestly say anything with honey is a great, or oats as well. Oats is great. I think honestly, if you just make some porridge or oatmeal and put it on your face, like without any, obviously try to do it with water and honey. I think it would be really great for your skin, because oat is known to be it's known to be a sort of ingredient that calms the skin down, calms down redness, it brightens the skin, and the honey as well is an anti-inflammatory, so it does the same thing.
Oh, that's amazing. So yeah. I'm gonna try it. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. And if you want to turn it into an antioxidant, then just add in some charcoal powder and then
Yeah. I mean, especially with like quarantine, I feel like a lot of people are just switching to skincare because we don't have to wear makeup while we've been sitting at home. So
Exactly.
Yeah, no, of course. So thank you so much, Katie. I really appreciate your time and, you know, just like enlightening our audience on like what cruelty-free makeup is. And I hope people get inspired by this segment. So if you do, like, share, subscribe. And yeah, you can hopefully DM Katie if you have any queries regarding this segment. And thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.